Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power by Dr. Boyce Watkins is a nonfiction financial empowerment book aimed primarily at Black readers who want to think differently about money, ownership, and family wealth. Rather than offering generic investing tips or quick profit strategies, the book frames economic behavior as a collective and generational issue. Watkins argues that Black households already function as important economic units, but often without the discipline or structure needed to turn income into lasting assets. The book emphasizes ownership over consumption, strategic spending, and the idea that business should serve as infrastructure for households and communities. Its purpose is not simply to improve personal finances, but to challenge readers to build legacy, strengthen family systems, and understand wealth as something that must be intentionally organized and transferred across generations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wealth as a family and community structure, not just personal income. A central idea in the book is that wealth should be understood at the level of the family and community, not only the individual. Watkins rejects the common self-help framing that treats financial success as a private achievement measured by salary or personal status. Instead, he presents the Black family as an economic institution with real power, but one that often operates without a clear strategy. This matters because it shifts the reader's focus from isolated earning to coordinated value creation. Income can support a household, but it does not automatically build durable security. The book insists that readers ask whether their financial choices are strengthening a larger economic base or simply maintaining short-term consumption. That distinction gives the book its broader social dimension. It is not only about making money, but about organizing money so that it reinforces family stability and shared prosperity over time. Secondly, the distinction between income, consumption, and ownership. One of the book's most important analytical moves is its distinction between income and ownership. Watkins repeatedly suggests that a paycheck may create comfort, but assets create generational power. This is a crucial difference because income is temporary and dependent on labor, while ownership can produce ongoing value and transferability. The book uses that contrast to challenge spending habits that keep households locked into cycles of consumption without accumulation. It is not arguing that spending is bad in itself. Rather, it pushes readers to evaluate whether purchases are building capacity or draining it. Ownership is presented as the deeper goal because it changes a family's position in the economy. When people own productive assets, businesses, or other forms of wealth, they gain leverage that wages alone cannot provide. This topic gives the book its practical edge, since it turns an abstract discussion of empowerment into a concrete question about what kind of financial decisions actually build lasting security. Thirdly, business as infrastructure for household stability and legacy. The book treats business differently from many entrepreneurship guides. Watkins does not frame business mainly as a path to individual independence, prestige, or hustle culture. Instead, he presents it as infrastructure that should support households and circulate value within the community. That approach is significant because it redefines entrepreneurial activity as a collective tool rather than a purely personal one. A business, in this view, should not only generate profit for its owner, but also strengthen family systems, create employment, and reinforce local economic resilience. This helps explain why the book places so much emphasis on intentionality. Business activity should be designed with long-term community benefit in mind. The idea also connects to legacy, since an enterprise can become a vehicle for transferring knowledge, assets, and opportunity across generations. By making business part of a larger economic architecture, the book moves beyond motivational entrepreneurship and toward a more structural understanding of how wealth is built and sustained. Fourthly, financial discipline, planning, and the rejection of accidental prosperity. Watkins is clear that economic power does not happen by accident. The book argues that wealth requires discipline, planning, and a consistent awareness of its consequences, especially around spending, investing, and ownership decisions. This is one reason the book can feel unsparing. It asks readers to examine habits that may be culturally normalized but economically harmful. The emphasis on discipline is not presented as moralizing for its own sake. Rather, it is a recognition that collective progress depends on repeated behaviors, not isolated victories. The book suggests that many financial setbacks arise not only from external barriers, but also from internal patterns that weaken long-term accumulation. That does not erase structural inequality, but it does place responsibility on readers to act strategically within difficult conditions. The practical value of this topic is that it gives readers a framework for self-audit. Instead of vague encouragement, the book offers a harder standard. If a habit does not strengthen ownership, stability, or transferability, it may not support economic power. Lastly, a culturally specific critique of Black wealth-building norms. The book stands out because it is explicitly written for Black readers and rooted in the history of Black economic struggle and exclusion. Watkins is not offering a universal personal finance model that ignores racial context. He addresses wealth building as a response to specific historical and structural realities, including the long-term loss of Black wealth and the need to reverse patterns that weaken community ownership. This culturally specific framing is one of the book's defining features, and it gives the work both urgency and controversy. Some readers may appreciate the directness, while others may wish for a deeper treatment of systemic barriers. Even so, the book's value lies in how it connects financial literacy to cultural repair, family structure, and economic self-determination. It asks readers to think beyond individual advancement and toward collective positioning. That makes the book more than a finance primer. It is a commentary on how a community can reorient its habits, institutions, and priorities to protect wealth and create a more durable economic future. In conclusion, 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power is best suited for readers who want a financially focused book that is also culturally and politically grounded. Black readers seeking a sharper framework for wealth building will find its emphasis on ownership, discipline, and family-centered strategy especially relevant. Entrepreneurs may also benefit from its view of business as infrastructure rather than as mere personal ambition, since the book repeatedly ties enterprise to household stability and community circulation of value. Compared with many finance books, it stands out because it does not treat money as a neutral technical subject. Instead, it places financial behavior inside a broader history of Black wealth loss, economic exclusion, and the need for collective repair. That makes the book more demanding than a conventional self-help title, but also more specific in its purpose. Its practical benefit is not just motivation. It is a framework for evaluating spending, investing, and ownership through the lens of legacy. Readers looking for a generic investing manual may find it too targeted, but those seeking a clear argument about generational wealth and Black economic self-determination will find it distinct and useful. If you would like to support Dr. Boyce Watkins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.